morning. So how am I supposed to follow that? Right? That man, you just, I don't know how you guys, what kind of church you grew up in, if you didn't grow up in church. But sometimes a song like that will just make you want to say glory. So I need a hanky, and it's fitting to get real. So anyway, we're continuing a series this morning called Transitions, and we're going to jump right into it. We've talked about this from a couple of different perspectives. Really, I guess the first 2 weeks, what we've talked about is how God will transition us. His desire for us is to transition from and to certain things, right? And so we go all the way back to the beginning of our spiritual journey, and we transition from death to life, right? We are dead in our sin and our trespasses. There is no way that we can make that up. It's a sin debt is what it's called, and there's no way you can pay it back. You ever had a bill, and you're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay that, right? Anybody else? Yeah, all right, good. So I'm just, let's be real about this stuff, right? So our sin debt is even worse. It's a debt that you could never possibly repay on your own, but Jesus canceled the debt by dying on the cross for your sin. That's a good thing. That's something that'll make you want to get up here and saying, all my hope is in Jesus, right? And so we talked about that, how he takes us from death to life. It's a transition that we have to take in our spiritual journeys. You are never, ever, ever, ever going to be good enough on your own to make that transition. Jesus is the only one that helps you to do that. He's the only one that makes that way possible for you. It says he is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And so we step into the new life he makes available to us by believing in him and asking him to be the Lord, not our friend. Y'all want to talk about it for a minute? Because listen, everybody likes this feel-good stuff. We're like, oh, Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus ain't your homeboy, right? Now, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but he ain't your homeboy, right? There is a level of reverence and respect that has to be in play. And so Jesus, he invites us into this relationship, this life-giving relationship with him. We go from death to life. We talked about that the first week. Then last week, we talked about what I would consider kind of the sequel to that. It's going from milk to meat. From milk to meat. It's just maturity, right? You are, as you walk in, you kind of begin your journey of faith, you're going to make a lot of mistakes because you don't know what you don't know, right? Now, unfortunately, what happens is a lot of churches, and this is a knock against other churches, right? If you act like this, like they want people to look a certain way, talk a certain way, walk a certain way, be a certain way when they come in the doors. Now, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you went to the hospital when you were healthy? I mean, I go to the emergency room only when my arm is dangling off my elbow. That's it. I only go when there's an emergency, when I need trouble, when I'm sick. And Jesus is like, hey, the church is the hospital, right? They come in sick and broken and hurting, and they don't have to look clean and healthy and all of that. We want them to come in just like they are, and then we're going to patch them up, right? And we're going to slowly nurse them back to health, and we're going to get them where we need them to be. And so we transition from milk to maturity. There's things that you're going to do when you first start walking in your faith. You're going to make mistakes, right? You're going to learn. You're going to grow. And hopefully the transition takes place from milk to meat, from immaturity to maturity, right? So that's where we've been. And so this week what we're going to do is something just a little bit different. We've kind of talked in terms of contrast, right? You know, so from one quote-unquote bad thing to something that's good, kind of one end of the spectrum to the other. But not every transition is from bad to good. There are some transitions that are from good to great, right? There are some transitions that God wants us to make and take in our life that are from good things to better things, to greater things. And I think I've heard this, you've probably heard this, that good is the enemy of great. Have you ever heard that? Right? If you have, just give me a mm-hmm. That was pathetic. That was weak. All right. I won't do that. I won't put you out there like that anymore. And I mean, next time, say it with your chest, right? So good can be the enemy of great. And good is good, right? Good is fine. Good is acceptable. But I think when we get so comfortable with good that we're not willing to pursue, we're not willing to sacrifice, we're not willing to continue to grow, then good becomes the enemy of great. And so we're going to look at a few situations in Scripture where you see this play out, that you are able to transition from good things to great things, right? And the first one, and this may seem weird when you first hear it, but it'll make sense as we get through it. It's called From Grace to Grace. From Grace to Grace. There's a song that we sing called From Grace to Grace, but they stole it from the Bible, and we're stealing it from them, so it's great. If you're going to steal from the Bible, I think that's a forgivable offense, right? And so the first transition that we're going to look at is how God is always trying to transition us to a deeper understanding of His grace. Y'all know what we do with grace? We treat it at a distance, right? We keep it at a distance. We treat it like it's this one-time experience where God saved us because we were so bad back then, but thank God for His grace. His grace is amazing. How wretched, you know, I am. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, right? And that's how we treat grace, but grace is so much more than that. There are so many more layers to grace that we have access to, but we have to transition to that. So John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, it says this: "And the Word," which is Jesus, "and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And I love that description about Jesus, because I think sometimes people err on one side or the other, and it's not both for whatever reason. Jesus was full of grace, and He was full of truth, right? Because you have a lot of people that's like, "Oh, well, Jesus loves me. I can do whatever the heck I want." And I'm like, how foolish is that? Like, when you love someone, when you love your spouse, married folk, right? Like, there are expectations, there are responsibilities that come with that love. You can't do whatever you want just because you love someone and they love you, and you can abuse and take advantage of that love. Love brings about responsibility. So just because He's grace doesn't mean that there isn't truth also, that there are expectations for us. There's a standard that we're called to live by. But it's not all about the rules and the regulations and all of those sorts of things. It's both, right? Like, we try to live to the standard that God has set for us, but there's always grace available to us. He was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth, right? Verse 15, it says, "John bore witness about Him and cried out, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me because He was before me.'" And so they're, again, setting Jesus up. Verse 16, this is where we're going to spend most of our time. "For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now let me explain kind of what's going on here. In the context, he's kind of doing some contrast of the old covenant. The old way of viewing and relating to God was the old system, right? And it was good. It was acceptable, right? It worked for a really long time. But in many ways, it kind of created some distance between us and God, between man and God, because, again, it became all about the rules. It became all about the truth, right, and the things that you had to do to be pleasing to God. And so this new way of viewing God, that Jesus stepped in, and He made God up close and personal, and your access to Him was immediate, right? He made this new grace greater than the old grace. So we went from one grace to another grace. Do you guys tracking? I know that's a lot of grace and stuff that's happening. But you think about it like this. It was a good system, and God took a good system and made it better. It's an upgrade, right? And I think when we think of grace in terms of an upgrade, it kind of helps us to understand that God is always trying to get us to a new and better place in our understanding of how His grace works in our life. Grace is for saving us. You are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, not that anyone can boast. It's nothing that you've done. It's none of your merit, your work, your worth. Nothing that you can do can save you. You are saved by grace, right? And that's awesome, but that's not all that grace is. Grace is for you to live every single day of your life and to walk in it, because this is what happens with grace. The more you're following Jesus, the more you realize, man, I am messed up. Right? Now here's what, immediately, like when we kind of come to our senses and you ask Jesus to save you, there's a recognition that, man, I can't do this on my own. I'm not good enough. And you start to realize, but then the longer you're in it, you're like, man, I really suck at this. And I really can't do this on my own, and I really need a Savior in the baddest way to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And so we get to walk in grace every single day. There's from grace that saves us to grace that we get to walk in every single day that helps us to become more like Him, to reflect Him more accurately in the world that we live in, right? And so this transition, it took God from a distance and make God close and personal, a God that we could relate to, a God that was tempted and tried in every single way and yet without sin, and so we can find a Savior who we can put our hope and our trust in, right? From grace to grace. Now, this is what also this does. This also, it kind of provides us a glimpse into the character of God. When you see a God that doesn't want you to remain where you are, just to be stagnant and to never change and not experience growth, but it's a Savior who wants to take you from grace to grace, from good to great, right? And what's so cool about that, what's so awesome about that, is that you start to realize that God is not okay with you just kind of going through your life, going through the motions, not really living with any passion or zeal, or not feeling a sense of purpose, that God wants you to understand that you have a reason for being here. By his grace, he's saved you. He's made you. He's created you with a purpose and a meaning. You have value. And there is something for you to do for him on this earth. As long as you've got breath in your lungs, you have a reason for being here. And you start to understand that that's how God works. And he wants to take us from grace to grace, from season in our life to season in our life where we have purpose. And we'll look more kind of at that from another angle. We sing a song called Grace on Top of Grace. Like, it's funny because there are different ways that this can translate. One is grace in place of grace. Like, again, there was an old grace and there's a new grace, so we put grace in place of grace. That is so poetic and confusing, right? Grace in place of grace. But there's another song, another way to translate this. It's grace on top of grace. It's like we had some grace, but we got some more grace on top. It's like a buffet of grace. It's like you're at your grandma's house and you know, it's time to eat, right? And your plate is still full, but granny is not accepting the fact that your plate is still full. She wants to put some more grace up on, or gravy in granny's case, right? Put some more gravy on your gravy. It's grace on top of grace on top of grace. If you're ever at a place in your life where you're wondering, you're questioning, is God good? Man, let him put some grace on top of your grace, right? If you ever get to a place, and you might, because life is hard and life has a way of just wearing us down and beating us down, let the grace of God just overcome you and remind you that there is grace on top of grace on top of grace. Amen? All three of you, amen. All right, good. So the song, back to the song. I don't know how we talked about gravy and grace and all those sorts of things. But it says, it starts with, yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up, right? My mind, it's warped, it's messed up. But it starts like this. It says, Lord, how you've loved me, I don't deserve grace on top of grace. And kind of the way that I view this is in the beginning, right? When you first experience grace, you understand that a little bit. Like, you understand that, man, you know, I don't deserve God's love, but it's so cool that he did for me what I couldn't do for myself. But as you start to walk and try to walk out the Christian faith, then you really realize, Lord, I don't deserve your love. And I am so, so, so thankful that you give it to me anyway. And that's what grace is. It's unmerited favor. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. And you sure don't deserve it. But he gives it anyway. And he gives it anyway. It's grace on top of grace on top of grace. Amen. So that's one of the transitions that God likes to see happen in our life. It's a good to great transition, right? Another one that is probably less familiar, we're going to call it from glory to glory. And just that word, man, that word glory, you will never say glory the same again. Every time you say glory, you'll be like, glory. Ha, right? From glory to glory, right? From glory to glory. Now, I've been in church for about 20 years now. I got saved when I was 17. I was a senior in high school, so for the last 20 years, I've been going to church. I've been part of the church. I've been leading a church. And so when I first started going to church, I heard this expression a lot, and it's like, you know, God will take you from glory to glory to glory. And I was like, that sounds awesome. What does it mean? Right? And we have a tendency to use phrases, expressions, and words in Christianity that nobody really understands, but they sound good, so we say them, right? And so I kind of was curious what the heck this really means, and it's kind of funny because it really goes back to what we just talked about with the grace on top of grace. It's one glory, this old covenant, this old way of relating to God, and a new glory, this Jesus entering into the equation and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves is the new glory, but it also speaks to some other aspects of relating to God, and we'll talk about what those are in just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 is where you find it. It says this, but we all, with unveiled face, like the veil is removed, now you can see clearly. Have you ever had that happen where you've thought about something or you've wondered how something worked for days, weeks, months, or years, And then all of a sudden, an epiphany, right? Something happens. It's almost as if there was a veil over your eyes, and now there's not, and you see clearly what's going on. So, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Again, what does that even mean, right? So here's kind of the translation for us. This is the way this works when you consider context. The old glory was the old covenant. The new glory is Jesus and the new covenant. But it's also, we start to see, we're created in the image of God, right? Go back to Genesis, the creation story. He made them male and female, and then he created man in the image of God. You are a direct reflection of the image of God. And so it's like, hey, take a mirror, and you're looking in that mirror, and you can see now the glory of God because you are God's created being, his prized possession. And if any of you, well, we've got people in the nursing profession, the human body is fascinating, unbelievable, all of the intricacies and detail that it takes for us to operate like we operate. Millions and millions of cells, and I've heard that there's so many, you know, I guess math is such a snooze fest for me. I do not like math, right? Preach. Right. Sorry if you like math, but there, even mathematically, the way that the human body works and how many, you know, if there was like a, you know, whatever distance, you know, from this to that, that we couldn't function, it wouldn't work right. And the amount of fluid around our brains to protect us. And if it were any less or any more, it wouldn't work right. All of these things that are so intricately detailed. We are God's prized possession. We reflect his glory. But he wants to take us from one glory to another glory, right? The goal in all of this, like the end of life is not the end of life for us, right? Really, in many ways, the end of life for us is just the beginning because we believe in eternity. We believe that we have an opportunity to live the next 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and we want to reflect God's glory here. But when you consider the next, you know, whatever your lifetime ends up being in the grand scheme of eternity, man, it is nothing, right? And so God wants to take us from one glory to another glory. That's the plan he has for us, is for us to be with him forever. Jesus said these crazy things like, hey, you guys are going to come with me. And I'm going to go, matter of fact, I'm going to go up ahead of you guys. And I'm a carpenter by trade, right? I do construction. And I'm going to go up here, I'm going to start building you guys some houses. In fact, I'm going to build y'all some big houses. That's according to Audio Adrenaline, right? Big, big house. Lots and lots of room, right? And so Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. You guys are going to come up here with me, and you're going to be with me for all of eternity. You guys are going to go from one glory to another glory. He's going to transition us from one to the other. And that's just fascinating to me that we have this opportunity to transition from one glory to another glory. There are other ways that this works. When you, again, being God's prized possession, created in his image, we reflect his glory. What happens is you can transition from the glory of created being to the glory of created being filled with the Spirit of God. It's a whole nother level, right? It's a whole nother level of being able to reflect the glory of God. Your glory is good, but it's not good enough, right? Your glory, like people, again, the human body is incredible, absolutely incredible. And so that's awesome that you are you, right? But there is so much more for you, and you can go from glory to glory when you start to reflect not just who you are, but who God has made you to be, and you start to reflect him in the world around you. So that's another aspect of this glory to glory. And then the last one, I think, and maybe I'm just a simple person, I think that God wants to take us from glory to glory in our spiritual journeys. I do not think that every day is awesome, unlike the Lego movie, right? Everything is awesome, right? Where is the choir? You guys got to step up and help a brother out. You just did not. You keep leaving me hanging. I don't think every day is awesome. In fact, I think some days are really hard. But I think that I view it like this. I view it, in fact, let me before I jump into this, let me kind of set this up. I do think that we're called to win. I think you find language all around us in Scripture that you are an overcomer. That you are more than a conqueror, right? All these great, that you are victorious, right? We are called as followers of Jesus to live a victorious life. In fact, I know numerous people who have tattoos that say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. but you can't come to church when it's raining. I can do all things except for that. I ain't gonna be able to do that. That's too much. God, you asking too much. Yeah. So there's all this language in Scripture around us being victorious. And here's why I think this takes. I'm just simple enough to believe that God is a winner. Like, we don't serve a God that is a loser. We serve a God that is a winner. We serve a God that has power, that overcomes, that is victorious. And again, we are created in His image. He's created us to win, to be victorious. It's not to say that we won't have battles to face or obstacles to overcome, but that we ultimately, because of who it is that's in us, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world, ultimately, because of God's grace, we can overcome and we're called to be victorious. So the way that I see this is it's like going from mountaintop to mountaintop, right? And it's a beautiful picture. It's like, that's awesome, because we only think about those defining moments in our life when we're standing on top of the mountain and everything is awesome and it feels fantastic and you know, the air is blowing on your face and you feel this sense of accomplishment and worth. Now, what we fail to realize so often when it goes from mountaintop to mountaintop is that you don't have a helicopter to get you from mountaintop to mountaintop, right? There is some descending and some hiking, and there's some valleys, and it's time, right? It takes eight. Have you ever been to the mountains, and you're like, hey, we're going to climb to that hill, and you start walking, and 3 days later, you're like, good Lord, I didn't know it was so far. Jeez, you know, like you pass out, and you die, and I'm just kidding, it's not quite that bad. But it is, it's always kind of deceiving how long it's going to take to get from one mountaintop to another mountaintop, from one glory to another glory. There's the descension, there's the valley, there's the ascension. And when you start climbing up, then you realize how bad out of shape you are and how much oxygen really matters, right? And you start climbing. And when you finally make it from one mountaintop to another mountaintop, you appreciate the heck out of it. It's all about the journey, right? And the things that you learned and the way that you grew and the time that you invested, you appreciate it. And that's what I think from glory to glory is. Man, it's not just like every day you hop up or you wake up and you jump from one mountaintop to another mountaintop. This is not how it goes, right? It is a process, a journey with hard work. It's arduous. The journey itself can be dangerous. There's it's precipitous, right? It's a very careful, cautious trek that you have to be on. And that's what happens when you use big words. You mess up. Precipitous. So, from mountaintop to mountaintop, from glory to glory, there is a journey that has to take place. And that's the way that I view this, from glory to glory. And what's so great about this is that when you get to those moments, they don't last long, right? They last, you know, a day, 2 weeks, maybe. And then it's time to go back to work, right? It's time to go back down the mountain so that you can walk through the valley, so that you can climb another mountain. But when you're on top of the mountain, man, what an opportunity to reflect back to God the glory that He's given to you, right? What an opportunity, whatever that looks like for you, man. Maybe it's you got a job. Maybe you've been going to college for, you know, 8 years and you've been working full time and going to college and trying to, you know, raise a family all at the same time. And you put in all of this effort and you finally make it and you get the call and you got a job, the dream job, this thing that you really, really wanted. You went from glory to glory. And so when you get there, just stop and reflect back to God the glory that He's given to you, from glory to glory, right? So that's the second transition that we're going to look at. The last one is this, and I absolutely had to do this one. In fact, I was going to make this a message all by itself, but for sake of time and weeks and all of those sorts of things, we couldn't go any longer with the series because we've got the potluck next week. And next week, what we're going to talk about is from the table to my mouth. So this transition is called from infatuation to devotion. From infatuation to devotion. From infatuation to devotion. Man, I love this one. It's good. Like I said, I wanted to spend an entire message on this, but we just didn't have the opportunity to do that. So what I think that God wants us to do in our lives, in our walks with Him, in our spiritual journeys, is the transition from infatuation of Him, about Him, to Him, to devotion. And let me kind of just, let's explain how this happens, how this works in our lives, right? Maybe you started coming to church a couple months ago, or whatever that looked like for you, right? When you started going to church, when I first started coming to church, man, it was like at first literally scared the hell out of me. Literally, right? You know, preacher jokes, right? I mean, it really did. Like, it was terrifying to me. And then I realized, oh, I'm the problem, right? I need to change. And so, but in the beginning, man, it was so exciting. I was so jacked up. I was all zeal and no brains. Right? All passion and no understanding of whatever, you know, I was supposed to be doing and what this looked like. And again, because you don't know, you make a lot of mistakes. And so in the beginning, there was a ton of infatuation. Now here's, infatuation is good, right? It's great. It's great to be excited about this new life that you're able to experience. It's great to be excited about understanding how God has saved you and he's got a purpose for your life and you have destiny that he's called you to. That is awesome to be excited about that, but infatuation will never sustain you. People that are infatuated, they will be uninfatuated the second that trouble comes. Right? People who are infatuated and their strength, the strength of the relationship is dependent on infatuation. As soon as the feelings change or the circumstances change, they're gone. Right? Infatuation is good, but infatuation is not great. We need to get from good to great in our level of, in fact, let's go from infatuation to devotion. And I think that's what God wants for us in our relationship with him. Like, here's the thing. The Christian life is not always going to feel good. Can we just be mature enough to accept the fact that it's not how you feel that matters, it's your faith that matters? There are times when your feelings line up with your faith, and those are great times, man. And those will sustain you through some of the more challenging times because you can reflect back on them, and you're just reminded that, hey, I'm on the right path. God knows what he's doing. It doesn't make any sense to me right now, but my feelings at the moment lined up with my faith, and now that I'm walking in a season where my faith and my feelings aren't matching, I'm going to lean into and trust my faith. Right? It's not about your feelings. And you've got to transition from infatuation to devotion to get to that point in your life. It's not about your circumstances. I mean, come on, man. Like, legit, we're going to hold the God of the universe hostage to our circumstances. As if this whole thing is about us. I hate that you go through some challenging circumstances. I hate that I go through some challenging circumstances. I wish if I were God, pew, 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 right? Get me a wand and I'm going to start fixing some stuff. Wait, y'all know what that was? Disney, there you go. Disney. How many of y'all got Disney Plus? Just out of curiosity. Sinners. Anyway, yeah, we got it too. It's good. So anyway. I hate that we have to go through challenging circumstances. I really do. But that's the way that it is. Like, just accept the reality that that's the way that it is. And decide before you enter into those challenging circumstances that your circumstances don't define you or your relationship with God, that you are moving, transitioning from infatuation to devotion. And we, it's funny because, you know, when we started, you guys are interesting to me. We sing some incredible songs. And a lot of times, we kind of get the... When people start, you know, and man, you know, Jordan's up here like singing his soul, like literally his soul is on the ground when he's done because he just laid it all out there, right? And Shelly does, hey, y'all, Shelly's birthday is tomorrow. 23. She is 23-ish. I had a beard, but I had to shave it because Shelly's having a birthday. So I wanted to make her feel younger so I would look younger, and it was just... this weird psychological dance we do, right? So music, back to music. So Jordan comes up here, and we sing some incredible songs, right? And, you know, sometimes this is the response. It's aight, right? And then we start singing songs like these old songs, and it's like, oh, and you guys are like, I swear, somebody busted out a lighter. Freebird! Like, no, it's not an open mic. So here's my point. Let me get to where I'm going with this, right? We love some of these old songs that we're all familiar with. Well, there's one, you want to talk about old songs, that I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, right? And I love that old song. We've sung it before. We've talked about this before. But it speaks to the transition that we're called to make from infatuation to devotion. I have decided before I enter into these challenging circumstances, before my feelings don't line up with my faith, I'm going to decide on the front end that whatever happens in my life, whatever happens in my journey, that I'm following Jesus no matter what. Because this is what happens if you don't make up that decision. You're always looking for a plan B. You're always looking for a better option. You're always, in fact, I think you're always looking for a way back. And here's what's so frustrating about that. Why are you looking for a way back from the life that you wanted to escape so badly? Why are you looking? Don't turn back. Stop looking back. God rescued you as you prayed for him to rescue you. Unbelievable how God will save us and pull us out of these circumstances, and we're so excited about it. In the beginning, we are infatuated with him. And then when things get hard or they don't work out like we think they should work out, we look back to the way, to the life that we used to live that God rescued us from. Don't look back. Transition from infatuation to devotion. It doesn't matter what comes my way, God. I'm following you all the days of my life. Wherever you lead me, whatever you have for me, whatever that looks like for me, whether anybody comes with me or not, God, I am following you all the days of my life. I'm devoted to you. I'm not just infatuated with you. I think Peter was a perfect example of this. If you're not familiar with the life of Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, followed him really closely for a few years, like got to spend this quality time with Jesus, the Son of God. And I think Peter was infatuated with Jesus. I think Peter liked this new teaching, right? This new idea that now God is here, right? The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of God is within you. And Peter liked the new. And he liked that he got to travel with Jesus, and he got to go to all these places with Jesus, and he probably got some attention because he was connected to Jesus. So he was infatuated with Jesus. But that infatuation didn't last long, right? As soon as the trouble came, as soon as there was some adversity, as soon as Peter was called out for being connected to Jesus, the infatuation wasn't sufficient to sustain him. The infatuation wasn't strong enough to get him through the adversity that he had to go through. And so Peter checked out. If you're not familiar with the story, in fact, it says he cussed out a little girl. Real mature, Peter. Real mature, right? And really, what he was doing was just defaulting to the way that he used to be. He was a cussing fisherman, right? And so in that moment, when the infatuation wasn't sufficient to sustain him, he defaulted to the way that he used to be. He went back because the infatuation wasn't enough. And so after some time away and some figuring, you know, ultimately God getting a hold of his heart, Peter went from infatuation to devotion. The same guy that bailed on Jesus in his moment of need and cussed out this little girl was the same guy who Jesus built the church on that has lasted for 2,000 years. The same Peter who was a coward became bold and courageous, unashamed of his faith, unashamed of sharing this thing that God has done for him, in him, through him. And I think he transitioned from infatuation to devotion. And I think that's the same transition God wants us to make. I think he wants us to, man, be infatuated with Jesus. That's awesome. Like, especially if it's new to you and you're learning all this new stuff and these ways that God wants to work. And when you first step into the Christian faith, it's like you see the world in a completely different way. You start to see things from a different perspective. You start to realize that what you thought mattered probably doesn't matter as much as you thought it did. And it's all new, and that's awesome, but that's not enough. You have to choose for yourself to be devoted, to be committed. In spite of what may come, in spite of your feelings, in spite of your circumstances, in spite of potential adversity, that you are following Jesus all the rest of your days. And here's what's so fun about this. Here's what's really cool about this. Is it doesn't just affect your relationship with God. I think it will begin to affect every other relationship that you have. Because y'all know what we need. We do need Jesus. Y'all seen the shirt that says, y'all need Jesus, right? Anybody that wears that shirt probably needs it more than the... If you have it, I'm sorry, but it's true, right? If you're wearing a shirt that tells everybody else how much they need Jesus, you need Jesus. But y'all know what we need in the world that we live in? We need to see some relationships that are not just infatuated but devoted to each other. And I'm not just talking about marriages, as important as that is, right? Like in marriages, like you see so many people who the honeymoon phase is great, right? It's all new, it's all exciting, it's all infatuating. But you do what in the morning? All you married folk are acting like I don't know what I'm talking about. Right? This is how you respond to that. Oh, you don't take out the trash when I ask you to take out the trash. Right? All of these honeymoon phase things start to wear off and the infatuation wears off, and then you have to decide if you're going to be devoted, if you're going to be committed. Right? Or you're going to check out just like everybody else checks out. And it's not just relationships in terms of marriage. It's what about friendships? Yeah, we need some friendships that transition from infatuation to devotion. And I've seen this happen in my own life. I'm sure I've been on the other end of it before, where, you know, somebody just seems really cool, and then you get to know them, you're like, they're not as cool as I thought they were. So the infatuation wears off, and there's no devotion. So I've had situations in my own life where I feel like people, they want to get to know me. And let me just, I'm going to be upfront with everyone in the room. I am not that exciting. I am just not, right? There's not much exciting. I am pretty regular. The things that I do very consistently. Like, in fact, I'm kind of like the, what is it? We talk about how we're cockroaches. You can't kill us. We just keep coming back, right? I'm convinced, like, my mantra for life is I'm not the smartest, not the brightest, not the most talented, but I'm going to be here, right? And I'm going to keep going. Like, I've got friends that are like, hey, man, let's go work out. And, you know, we work out for 2 weeks, and then they're done, and they quit, and I just keep going, right? Or, you know, hey, we're going to coach football, and you start doing that. And this is what's so funny about sports. It's so funny. Y'all, listen, I know. This morning is crazy. Just go with it. But here's what's so funny about sports. People who don't have any kind of involvement, who don't have any kind of consistency, who don't have any kind of devotion, have all the ideas in the world of what you should do with the things that, you know what I'm saying, the things that you're responsible for. And let me just give you some advice. If you aren't showing up to practices and you aren't involved on a regular basis, shut your mouth. Okay, moving right along. So I'm very consistent, right? Like we just do what we do, and we've been doing it for a very long time, and we're going to continue to do it for a very long time. So if you think you want to be my friend because you think I'm exciting, just don't waste your time. So everybody's clear, right? Now, what has happened in the past before is people, I guess, assumed that I was more exciting than I am, and they're like, oh man, you know, let's grab coffee. I do not have time to grab coffee. Like, can we stop doing this nonsense, right? So let's hang out. Let's go get, you know, let's go do this or that or whatever. And so we do, and I waste my time doing that because then they soon realize that I'm not as exciting as maybe they thought that I was. And so the infatuation wears off. There's no devotion because they were attracted to an idea of a person that's not a reality, right? And this is not just me. This is any one of us, right? And so you find so often when it comes to people who want to get to know you, to be your friend, they're infatuated with you, but they're not committed to you. They're not devoted to you. And let's be honest, you probably do the same thing to them. Why don't we get to a place in our life where we're not worried about the infatuation? The jokes, they're not funny anymore. The stories, I've heard them all. You're kind of predictable at this point. Like, I know how you're going to respond to this, and I know what you're going to do about this, and I don't care because I'm committed to you. I'm devoted to you. I'm not infatuated with you. I'm devoted to you. Can we please get to that place in our lives? It takes marriages from honeymoon to covenantal devotion. That, hey, you know what? There are days that I do not like you, but by God, I love you. And you ain't leaving me, because if you leave, I'm coming with you. It's that kind of devotion, right? It's the devotion that, hey, we're going to have some struggles, and our kids are going to be crazy, and our finances are going to be a challenge, and things are going to break, and air conditions stop working in August. But we're going to get through it because I'm not just infatuated with you. I am devoted to you. It takes our friendships from friendships to brotherhood. And this is something that is so absent in the church. You find stronger bonds of friendship in biker gangs and gangs in prison than you do in churches. Like, people that would literally die for you You find it in gangs, but you don't find it in churches. How in the world have we gotten to this place? That our relationships in church are so shallow. That we walk in, and this is generally speaking how churches operate, right? We walk in, how you doing? I'm good. Hallelujah. We leave, and nothing changes, right? Our relationships transition from friendships to brotherhoods to sisterhoods to loyalty and devotion. When we move, when we decide that, hey, I'm not just going to be infatuated, that I'm going to be devoted. And then churches collectively transition from, you know, hey, this little gathering that's real cute on Sunday morning to community. And I don't know that we've ever really even experienced what community looks like in a biblical sense. Because if you go read the book of Acts, like their community and our community are two different things. This is what we want community to be in modern church. Well, I'm part of the church. That church should do everything for me. That pastor needs to do this, and you know they need to do this, and this, and this, and this. And we never think about it in terms of what we contribute, but only what we consume. It's okay to yourself too, right? Like, I don't think we've ever seen what biblical community actually looks like. Because if you go read the book of Acts, it says that everybody was in one accord, and this is what they did. It says they brought all of their possessions, and they sold them, and they gave it to the church, and they distributed it as each needed it. We have never seen community. In fact, we're going to talk about money for just a second. We don't do this a lot, but we'll just do it. Right? If we had, I hate talking about money because everybody gets uptight and takes things the wrong way. But let's just talk about it for a second, right? If we had that same mentality, I am not saying everybody sells their houses and all of their land and all of that stuff and brings it in. Man, if we just had the mentality that, hey, we're all going to sacrifice equally, the church would be able to do excessively more than it currently does. But there's a principle called the Pareto principle. It's where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And it's no different when it comes to giving. 20% of the people give 80% of the money. Now, I don't know what your philosophy is on giving in the church, but here's the bottom line. Like, we cannot continue to meet unless we have money. We cannot make a difference in our community. Pray for people. That's awesome. That doesn't cost a cent. But if you actually want to invest in the community, that takes money. And so if we just had community in the sense that, hey, you know what? I may not be able to give as much as this person or the next person, but I'm going to sacrifice equally. The church then can do excessively, abundantly more than what it currently does. Like our ability to impact the community is exponentially increased. We care for each other. We walk with each other. When one of us is hurting, we all hurt. When one of us is celebrating, we all celebrate. When one of us has a death in the family, we all stand with that person, right? And it can't be just one person doing everything. It is everybody doing everything. And that's what community looks like. And we only get to that place when we're willing to transition from infatuation to devotion. Amen. God wants to take you from good to great. And I don't know what that looks like for you today. Maybe it's from grace to grace. Maybe your understanding of God's grace is just that, yeah, he saved me. That's awesome. But God wants to give you grace to walk in every single day of your life. Maybe it's from glory to glory. Maybe you're in the valley right now. Maybe you're struggling. Or maybe you're climbing a mountain and you're tired and you're out of breath and you realize the oxygen levels are different, right? And maybe God wants you to be reminded that he's trying to get you to a place where you can reflect his glory, from glory to glory. Or maybe you need to go from infatuation to devotion. Maybe this whole idea of church and Jesus is very interesting to you, but you haven't taken your next step. You need to go from infatuation to devotion, from good to great. Amen? Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for everything that you do for us. It's really, we always talk in the world that we live in terms of what's fair. God, it is not fair that you died on a cross in my place. It is not fair that you left heaven and stepped into the human equation, came to earth and lived a perfect life and still took on my punishment. It's not fair. And I'm so thankful that you're not concerned with what's fair and not fair. You're concerned with demonstrating to us what love is and what grace is. God, help us to go from grace to grace. Help us to go from glory to glory. And help us to go from infatuation to devotion. God, help us to make these transitions not just for ourselves, not for the benefit that it brings to us, but for you, to honor you. God, help us to reflect you in the world that we live in. Help us to lead people to you by the way that we live. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for everything that you do. It's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.